A look at the local high school sports scene, from coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games. It's the Rudin Report on WICC. Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rudin Report Live. We got a good show for you today. A lot to talk about. We had a pretty crazy week, some really big games, some big upsets. And if there is such a thing as a must-see night, it's going to come up on Tuesday. And joining me a little later, I said I want to get players on, and we're going to have our first one of the season. Stanford's E.J. Presley, who is sitting out the year with a torn ACL he got during football season. I wanted to get him on, just talk a little bit about what he's going through. One of two big players in the league that are without, their teams are without them this year. So E.J. will be joining us. But let's get to Tuesday night, and joining me as always is my co-host Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing?
Good, great. What an exciting week, as you say, and upsets and some games that of real importance.
Yeah, and two of them involved the teams we're going to talk about first. We have Staples was stunned by Greenwich, which used an interesting and effective defensive formation to shut down Staples and hand the Rutgers their first loss. And then in one of the big head-to-head meetings, and we'll finally get some more of them this week, Ridgefield beat at home Fairfield Ward and then showed on Friday night with McMahon that they're still the Sybil of the FCAC with dual personalities. But, Mike, Tuesday night, we've got four teams that have separated themselves from the league right now. Ludlow and Ridgefield are 7-0 in league play. Staples and Ward are 6-1. And Tuesday night, Ridgefield is coming to Ludlow, and Ward is going to Staples. First of all, just the four teams, what are your thoughts? Is Staples still the team to beat? Is one of them the weakest of the four? What are your thoughts initially?
Well, I don't think any of them are weak, but I do think Staples is still the team to beat. They ran into a great coaching move on the part of Bill Murphy, who was taking over for Bill Brehm, who is unable to coach at this point. But he played a triangle in two, which effectively face-guarded Sam Klatsko and Adam Udall, and played a zone on the other part. So I thought it was good strategy, and it worked. Klatsko had probably the worst game of the year for him. He shot 25%, including 1 for 8 from three. But, you know, he's not a machine. Those things are going to happen, and the great defense by Greenwich, I think, was part of that. And Greenwich scored just enough. Had a big night from Matt Maloney, who's really a good player. We had him on the first team, and he deserves to be on the first team. But the important thing is they got some support from a teammate, Martin, who had 16 that night. So that, they were able to go out and upset Greenwich. Upset Staples at Greenwich. And, it just shows that on any given night, one of these teams can beat another team. And then they came back the next time, Greenwich, and played Trumbull. And Trumbull, another team who has really come on a little bit since they lost Johnson. But they lost, they got beat up in Trumbull. So, again, as you say, those four teams, Ludlow, to me, showed an awful lot when they went to McMahon, at McMahon, and just kind of dismantled McMahon. I think they beat him by 20. That team just seems to know how to win. They did the same against St. Joe's on Thursday night. You covered that game. I think they're right up there. And look, when Ward going to Richfield, that's a tough assignment. And Richfield took care of business, to be honest with you. But then they came back, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that game against McMahon. That was an exciting game on Friday McMahon and Richfield. I think everybody expects Richfield to have a cakewalk, and McMahon came right at him and actually had the lead 63-60 with 23 seconds left to go in the game. and Coach McClellan, as always, has some kind of play set up. He set up a good one for Alex Hickey, who had an open three and missed it but got fouled and had three chances to tie the game. He missed the first, and then he made the second, and then on purpose missed the third, hit the front of the rim, bounced right to Stemkowski, who laid it in and tied it and sent the game into overtime. It was really kind of an unreal situation, which Richfield seems to be able to win these close games. I mean, they had the shot from half court to beat St. Joe's. you know, they just get these.
They're the most schizophrenic team in the league by far. You go out and you kind of make a little bit of a statement, and you beat Ward, and then again the fourth or fifth time this year that they've had to go down to the buzzer against the team that you know, if you had a spread on the game, they'd be a pretty comfortable favorite over. And yeah, I mean, they keep finding a way to win. They're getting the right bounces, and they're making plays. They're a tough team to figure out. You look at the Ward game, and whoever runs Ridgefield's Instagram account, please keep taking pictures of the scoreboard after the game, because we really would like to be able to promote the Ridgefield players. They always have good kids on the team. That's been the one constant over the years. But I guess against Ward, Hickey and everything seems to run through him, as everybody has said. He had 30, and Jay Genovis scored 22 points and an 11-point win over a Ward team that's very strong offensively. And then they play Houdini against McMahon. You know, Staples, as you said, I'm with you. They're still the team to beat. The triangle in two, and I think John Daly mentioned that when we had him on, as being a possible way to beat them. And Klatko and Udell were a combined 9 of 30 and a combined 23 points. So it worked last night, or it worked on Tuesday night. I'm not sure that it's always going to work, and it's going to be not too often where those guys are going to struggle with shooting, but everything worked out well for Greenwich that night. And then Ludlow, two games that they won by an average of 30 points. Really, as you said, I was at the St. Joseph game, and the Cadets are just really struggling right now. They're getting no offense from anybody but TJ Wright, and TJ's taking, you know, he's not a selfish player, and he gives the ball off, but he's taking some shots. I feel like he feels the burden's on him, and he has to score, and so sometimes is forcing shots. But if they're going to come back and get into a position to make a run at a playoff spot, he's going to need to get some offensive support. But, you know, we'll know more about Ludlow in 2 weeks, because they have the most difficult stretch of any team. They play the other three teams in succession now. They go Ridgefield Tuesday. They go Ward Friday. I'll definitely be at that game. And then they go Staples the following Tuesday. And then they play a Stanford team that you don't know what you're going to get on any given night. It's we're not even really talking about Ward too much. And you go up to Ridgefield and lose, that's a tough place to play. Certainly you don't discount them for that loss, but they're getting scoring from three guys, and there aren't too many teams in the league that are getting scoring from three different players.
No question. And they also have an inside-outside game. Jack Kramer is pretty good inside, not only scoring, but also I think he's a really good passer out of that position. And Ryan Moore and Aiden Shea can hit the outside shot, and they're starting to make good decisions. And when they put it all together, they're successful. I think defense is they're going to have to be their key, though. I think they'll score, but stopping the other team is what they have to become consistent at.
Yeah, that's been the big question mark with them. That's going to be an interesting game against Ludlow, which plays really, really good defense. And they're probably, well, their offense has been good. Torello, I'll tell you what, I watched Torello. If you had a vote right now for player of the year, Torello would get a lot of votes.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, for a player who didn't play at all last year, I mean, he's somebody who's come on and he's led the team and opened up opportunities for other players on the team to be successful. He helps Charlie Maloney a lot because Maloney, he doesn't have to, have the burden on him. So, I mean, if they come up with a third score and I think that they're dangerous. The way they're playing now, they could beat anybody. And like you say, this is going to be a tough 3-game stretch. But if anybody's up to it, I think Ludlow will be up to it.
Okay, well, good time to take a break, and we'll come back and maybe finish up a little bit with the fearsome foursome or whatever we're going to call them, and then look at some other teams. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back. And, Mike, let's just a couple more things on these four teams. You and I talked about it. I told you the other night that I'm not going to say who it is, but somebody we both respect and know the league as well as anybody, told we were talking about the Staples-Greenwich game, and he said to me that he thinks the key to beating Staples isn't Clacco, but Udell, that he kind of runs everything, and that if you shut him down, you shut down Staples. What you and I talked about that a little bit. I don't know that we both agree with that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I disagree with that, Coach, but because I think Clasco, he'll give the ball up and he can create for others and he can score. And I'm not taking anything away from Udall. I think he's a tough kid, as we've talked about, and he's the guy who kind of keeps it all together. But Clasco is really, really important to that team. They're both very important, obviously. But, as evidence in the Greenwich game, I mean, he had a tough game and a tough night, as we talked about. But, and they got beat. But getting back to that triangle and two quickly, they do have other options. And, I thought that Dylan Lohman was at 3-for-4 from three. So it's just that they had never seen it before and kind of didn't know how to react to it. And when they – I'm sure now they have it figured out. And Lohman may go for 7 threes again next time they see something like that. So I'm not worried about Staples. Staples will be fine. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be the team to beat. It's kind of interesting to see where the other teams fall, and we'll find out more. Obviously, this week and in following weeks. I think you and I talked about it earlier. Those four teams are kind of the teams that are kind of set for the playoffs. But there are 6 or 7 teams that are 4-3, 3-4. It's going to be a scramble to find those last 6, 7, and 8 spot. I think at this point you have to count Trumbull.
We'll get to those other teams because I want to talk about them. But first of all, I agree with John Staples in terms of if it was only one guy, they would have played a box and one, not a triangle and two. I think if you can stop both of them, that's great. But when you have a scorer like Clacco, it's if you can. neutralize him. And to both their credits, and I don't remember the exact totals, but they're versatile players too. Their assist and rebound totals were pretty much consistent with what they've done. I'm going to cover both games Tuesday. I'm trying to decide which one I'm actually going to go to. I don't know. Does one game interest you more than the other? If you were my editor, would you tell me I could choose, or would you say you definitely have to go to this game?
I definitely think you have to go to the Ludlow and the Richfield game, because I think that game is obviously two undefeated teams, but two teams. It'd be interesting to see how Richfield, first of all, reacts off their home court against a very good team, and secondly, how Ludlow is able to handle the big guy inside and Hickey. You talked about a box of one, or I used to call it a 1-3 and a chaser where I face guarded. I would try to do that with Hickey, but I'm sure John is so confident, and rightly so, in his man-to-man defense at Ludlow. And they're very good on the boards, by the way. They get a lot of offensive rebounds, and that'll be an interesting thing to see whether they can do that against a, pretty good-sized team inside in Richfield. Richfield executes their offense so well. We'll see how they do against John's man-to-man defense. And then John, by the way, is not afraid to throw in a little zone, which I always felt gave Richfield a little trouble. I remember when I coached them one night, we played a zone, and we were able to get lucky and beat them. But that's the game to me that really, really is interesting. And Warden Staples obviously is going to be a good game, and I think you should cover that too. Obviously, you can't cover both, but if you yourself was going to cover one, cover that Ludlow and Richfield game.
Yeah, I haven't decided yet. I'm torn. Obviously, Ludlow's closer to home. Staples' Ward intrigued me. I've only seen Ward once, and I don't know. We won't talk about what one factor that could influence me the other way, but I don't know. I'd like to see both games. I haven't made a final decision yet where I'm going to go, but it should be it'll be an interesting night of basketball, and we're going to learn as these teams play each other where they stand. I know McClellan was scouting Ludlow on Thursday night, and I know John Daly was up in Ridgefield on Friday. He actually sent us a couple of text messages with some updates from the game, so I want to talk about a couple of other teams. Why don't we start, just because I kind of feel like I'm their beat writer right now, just because they've been involved in the more interesting games the last 2 weeks. And actually, I got to meet the sports editor of the school paper, and I asked if I could be the new Canaan beat writer. But I saw the Rams twice this week. And they came away with wins over Wilton and Stanford, two teams that are going to be in the battle for those 6, 7, 8 spots. And this is going to be a story I'm going to write tomorrow. But now that we talked a lot about how, those football players and getting acclimated, I talked after the game both to Simon Shakharov and Andrew Esposito. And those football players now are basketball players fully. And New Canaan's on a nice run right now with 4 wins in a row.
No question. Danny's done a great job of putting that team together. One name that stands out to me is Henry Chuta.
He's been really playing well.
Yeah, he's really been playing well. And he's kind of almost like their leader as far as the offense is concerned. But Danny's went to a defense is, I think, attack more than anything else. He kind of pressured. I know he pressured Stanford in the last game, which gave Stanford trouble. He did a great job of getting the big guy in foul trouble. Now, I know that some people think they played better when the big guy was out, but who knows if he was in there the entire game, how that game would have turned around. He's a legit double-double machine, and not to have him in the game is something that I think hurts Stanford.
Yeah, that was the part that was, you saw the rawness of him. First of all, I mean, he picked up his third foul. There are still several minutes to go in the second quarter. So I'm guessing Stanford thought that they really needed him in there to have a chance to win. But they definitely did play well up-tempo. And Atkinson, who's been, I didn't realize, I guess hurt his ankle against Staples and has been slowed a little bit. He really carried them in the second half, played a great game. But, yeah, I'd rather have Sutton on my team than sitting on the bench because he can't teach 6'10". But, yeah, New Canaan is an intriguing team. I love, you know, based on what I'm seeing right now and looking around the league, I think they're going to be one of the top eight teams. And, you know, they could continue, if they can continue to keep playing this way, and who knows what's going to happen. This league is so wacky. But, you know, they could play their way up into like a sixth seed and battling for one of those middle seeds.
No, I agree with you. And I think that, you know, with them, we talk about the defense. His defense has been very good. He pressured Stanford, and I think that was an important part of it. I was in that game, just a comment, totally surprised that Stanford didn't come out pressing right away. I think that is one thing that could give a little bit of trouble to New Canaan. I think they kind of did at the end. But a coaching move that surprised me, you know, they kind of sat back and let New Canaan run their stuff. And
Dan Latour said that to me after. I have a quote from him in my story where he said, you know, he's kicking himself that he didn't go to the pressure earlier. And I agree with you. I think if New Canaan has a fault, they tend to turn the ball over a lot. And I think I would have pressed them right from the beginning.
Yeah, and I think Coach Latour is learning his team as he goes along. And I'm sure that, you know, once they lost EJ, who we have on as a guest later on, he had to change the way he's coaching the team. So he's learning himself, I think, on the job.
Okay, well, why don't we take another break here and we come back. There are a couple other teams I know Mike and I want to talk about, so we will get to that shortly. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and Mike and I are going to continue bouncing around the league. Mike, one team we really haven't talked about that much, and we're talking about a top four, but slipping into the five spot. We thought the loss of Ryan Johnston was really going to hurt Trumbull, and obviously they're missing a lot there. But they're sitting at 5-2 right now. They went 3-0 this past week, and what really stood out to me with the box scores, I mean, Sean Wilson's being Sean Wilson. He's averaging 21 points a game. We talked about Torello. Wilson is certainly a player of the year candidate as well. But the reason Trumbull's where it is, in those three games, five different players scored in double figures. And they've been getting contributions now from Ryan LaMuth, Jaden Tuace, Alex Roth, Tyler Rodriguez. They're getting, yeah, Wilson doesn't have to do it alone. And some of these guys that we really didn't know about that would have had to step up anyhow, even with Ryan Johnston on the court, they're stepping up now. And, you know, Trumbull's looking like a real solid fifth team.
Well, you know, we talk about John Daly as being Coach of the Year. I think that Buddy Bray and his staff, Colin Devine, have really put together a nice team. And they've filled in the pieces when they lost Johnson. And, you know, they've gone out and I thought played really good defense and found other scoring options, as you say. So, that, you know, Trumbull is a team that, you know, maybe we haven't talked about, but they could kind of beat anybody on a given night with the way they put that team together. So kudos to them.
Yeah, you look at the Greenwich game on Friday night, and even though Greenwich doesn't have the record, they've been playing a lot of teams closer, hanging with them for a while, so we're curious to see what was going to happen coming off the Staples game. And they were going into the fourth quarter. They were within 2 points of Trumbull, and then Trumbull outscored them 19-8 and kind of pulled away. Wilson with 22 and Lamothe with 13. So, you know, Greenwich is that pesky team that on any given night, as Staples saw, can give you trouble. But you know what? Trumbull's finding ways to win. And they've been really consistent, and I agree with you on Buddy. He's another Coach of the Year candidate to keep that team together after you lose one of the, you know, top definite all FCAC player, and he's just really doing a good job. And what you've seen Trumbull, I saw Trumbull once against Fairfield Ward, and you've watched them a little bit. Anything that's really impressed you about them?
Well, as I said, I think their defense, you know, they found their scoring options, but they really play hard on defense. I think what turned around that game against Greenwich was their defense. I mean, they made it very tough for Matt Maloney to score. I think he had 15, but they took away everybody else. You know, they didn't have anybody else scoring. And for Greenwich, they have to get somebody else other than Maloney scoring in order to win. You know, Trumbull took that away from him. So I would say their defense, and then, you know, sometimes offense comes from defense, and that's, I think, what happened with Trumbull in that game, especially late in the fourth quarter. So, you know, that's what they're going to have to do to win games, play defense and rebound.
Yeah, if that's the top five. You mentioned this, all the teams in the 500 area. You've got Stanford and New Canaan right now are both 4-3. And then you've got Greenwich Central, St. Joseph, Wilton at 3-4. And I don't know what to make out of any of them. Wilton has struggled, and they've been without Matt Weiss, who's got a knee injury, and We hope he gets good news because he had to sit out last year. But if he doesn't return, they don't have a point guard, and they've been counting too much on Lucetta right now. They need to find offense somewhere. But I mean, literally on any given night, I think if you had a round robin with all these teams, they might end up 500.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you know, I think they. Even as you say, they play each other, and one wins one night, and the other one wins another night. I really think that, you know, St. Joe's, if they can get some kind of scoring from somebody else, and I think even your coach said it against Ludlow, we can't rely on one man, because when you rely on one man, you're not going to beat good teams in the FCAC. And, you know, TJ Wright obviously is a really good player. But he's got to get some help from somebody else on that team in order to be successful and make the playoffs. Central is an interesting team. They beat St. Joe's in triple overtime. That was quite a game. They seem to be resilient. They went down to Darien, and Darien played without Sapione and had Central right down to the wire. And but Central held on to win. I don't know much about them. I've seen them play a little bit, and I know that they have some athletes. They play hard. And, you know, who knows what at any given night they're going to beat you because of their athleticism and the ability to play hard. You know, some of the other teams, I like New Canaan because I think New Canaan, you know, can play some defense, and their offense is starting to come along. As we talked about, you know, Greenwich, don't count them out yet. If Maloney can get some help, you know, they can make the playoffs. You know, as much as I think Joel does a terrific job there, you know, without their point guard and relying on Lucetta to be the scorer, it's going to be tough for them to make it, to be totally honest with you. But again, they could get hot and beat somebody. I'm just trying to think.
The big thing, about for New Canaan this past week is, you know, they beat two teams that Wilton and Stanford that they very well could be in tiebreakers with or possible tiebreakers. So if you can accumulate wins against these fellow teams, and New Canaan's starting to do that, it's going to put you in a more advantageous situation. I'll tell you, Thursday and Friday, I never thought I'd say this. Thursday and Friday are rivalry games, and Thursday night Ridgefield plays Wilton, and that's probably the best rivalry. Wilton plays Bridgeport Central on Tuesday night. If Central beats Wilton, I might have to go to Central at Staples. I never thought I'd say I'd consider not going to Wilton Ridgefield. But if Central beats Wilton, I got to give serious consideration to go and see Central at Staples.
Right, right. And I think we talked about this before. If Stanford figures it out, they have the most talent of those teams that we're talking about. I mean, they really do. They have to put it together. I think that, Ryan Connors has put a lot of pressure on himself, and he hasn't had a good game against the last couple of teams. But, he's a good player, and, I think that, he can play. And like you say, the point guard, Atchison, I like him. I think he can really lead that team. And Sutton, the big guy, they have some really good pieces. They just have to put it together. If I had to pick one of those teams that we talked about to make the playoffs, it would be Stanford. I just think that they have too much talent not to make the playoffs. And then if they do get in, they, again, could be dangerous. But they have to figure it out. They have to play better defense. They have to not turn the ball over. That's a lot of ifs, obviously. But, they're certainly at the top of that list, I think, of the teams that we talk about are 4-3, 3-4, 500. So it's, it'll be interesting to see how they do when the game's coming up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't figure. I saw Stanford get routed by Staples, and Staples is Staples, and the things that Stanford struggles with, Staples does really well. So even though it was a sizable loss, I'll kind of dismiss that a little bit. Stanford just doesn't have it's like they're missing chemistry. They got a lot of parts, but they haven't gotten the parts playing together. And I agree with you. If they get those parts playing together, they can play with any team in the league, and they're fast, and a lot of the top teams right now can't. If Stanford wants to go up tempo and can play controlled up tempo, that would cause matchup problems for even the top teams in the league. But they need to develop a little bit of chemistry, and we'll talk to him in a little bit. Man, if they had E.J. Presley on that team, E.J. Presley would be a stabilizing factor, and he would make everybody around him better, and he would take some of the pressure off of Connors. I think Connors, a lot of teams kind of figure that Sutton's gonna do his thing, and we don't want Connors to hurt you. I know Danny Melzer said after the New Canaan game that, they really wanted to shut down Connors, and they held them to 5 points.
Yeah, you make a great, great point about chemistry, Dave. I mean, you look at all the good teams, there's a culture of chemistry that makes them successful. And I'm talking about the Staples and obviously the Ridgefield situation. I mean, why do they win close games? They have a culture or a chemistry that kind of brings them together. I think that Ludlow has that. And obviously Ward has had much better this year at developing that. And Trumbull, picking up for Johnson, you hit a real key, I think. Kids have to learn to play together. They have to have a family chemistry type atmosphere. I know it sounds corny, but it really, really is important. I know on the teams that I've coached in the past, we've been successful because a lot of the kids you know, had a chemistry or a likeness for each other. And I'm not saying that the Stanford kids don't like each other. It's just that they have to learn to play together and have a certain chemistry. So, you know, they could be dangerous. And I know that, you know, not having E.J. Presley really hurts them. But, you know, they have the talent to overcome that.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? You could have all the parts together, but if the parts don't work in unison, then again, I can't pinpoint the chemistry has been missing. I kind of can't pinpoint what it is, but if those guys all get on the same page and they can improve their defense, which has struggled in the games I've seen them, they're going to be dangerous. I mean, we're at the halfway part. I mean, there's 15 games and seven have been played in the league, and there are only four teams that are out of it right now. There are only four teams that either have one win or Norwalk is winless right now. But and you know, you look at some West Hills 1-6 in the league, and they've been playing a lot of teams down to the wire. They finally got their first win against Norwalk the other night, but you got some teams that are, playing. Even again, it's the way the league is. Even some of the teams at the bottom of the standings are playing other teams tough.
Well, yeah, let's look at McMahon playing Richfield tonight at Richfield. They could have and maybe should have won that game, but you know, West Hill was right there with the. You know, in the Richfield game at Richfield, and Darien has played teams tough. Again, even the Central game without Sampion, they were, played a tough game and almost won that game. They have that three-point shooter. What's his name? I forget. But
Blythe.
Blythe, yeah. He's a really good player. So, you know, the bottom team's going to upset some of these middle of the road teams and even the top teams. So that's what makes the interesting part in the FCAC. I mean, it's really, really a good league, and I think it's a good year, a competitive year, and, you know, I'm anxious to see what the second half brings.
Well, I'm going to give you the rest of the show off, and I'm going to learn a little bit more about Stanford because we got EJ Presley on the line, and after a break, we're going to talk to him. But, Mike, we've got a lot to talk about, and we're going to have a lot more to talk about next week after we see how a lot of big games, not just Tuesday night, but rivalry week soon. So I'll give you the rest of the day off. I know you got a basketball game to see. Is it this fourth-grade basketball?
Yeah, I'm headed out to see my grandsons play. One plays at 12 and the other one plays at 2 o'clock. So thanks for having me a couple minutes off. I'll be able to get there on time. And again, can't wait for next week to see what happens and talk about it next Sunday.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Mike. We're going to take our final break here. And then when we come back, we got Stanford's EJ Presley.
Fall high school sports lives right here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut. Now, back to the Rudin Report and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, as we finish up the show, I said I got to start getting some more players. We've gotten coaches. I want to get more players on. And if there's been one site that's been the most upsetting to me or the most disappointing, it's seeing this guy helping out the team underneath the basket, getting ready before the games instead of going through layup drills. He's one of the top FCAC athletes, and he's a class guy. And because he's been out with an ACL, he's not getting the attention he deserves. So we're going to give him a few minutes here, and that's Stanford's EJ Presley. EJ, how you doing?
Good. How about you? Thank you for having me on the show.
Nah, thanks for joining me here. I know we've talked about this. First of all, just, you know, we saw you get hurt during football season. I remember watching you, you know, sitting there underneath the tent and with your mom, and you know, we feared the worst. But how are you doing with the rehab? I know everybody wants to know about that.
I'm doing good with the rehab. Staying consistent and Looking forward to making a return early summertime.
Okay, and you told me after this, at the Staples game, that right now you're thinking about instead of doing a gap year, maybe playing next year and football over basketball.
Yeah, I'm looking into some prep schools, but also at the same time, I'm talking to a couple of D2 schools in the Northeast.
Okay, well, we all want to see you back. How hard is it? I mean, how hard was it? Just, you know, first of all, your football team, Cam Cord, gets hurt before the start of the season, and you guys were so injury ridden. How hard was it then, and now with not being able to help the basketball team? How hard is it having to watch from the bench?
Yeah, it's really tough, mentally, physically, but it's also fun being around your teammates because I'm friends with the whole team, so that's obviously fun. So go to practices, go to games around them. So yeah, it's still fun being around the team. Just sucks not playing.
Every game you're underneath the basket with the team as they're going through warm-ups. And to your credit, I know you've been going to practices and games, so you've proven you're a real leader and a real teammate for the rest of the team. Are there ways? I mean, you're almost like having another coach out there. How do you feel you're still able to contribute to the team even though it's not on the court?
I think I could contribute. I've had a lot of varsity experience, so just helping players out when they need help. We have a couple of young guys on the team. Well, like guys that don't have much varsity experience, so it's just always good helping them out.
Yeah, I've watched you twice, and I saw you the new Canaan game on Friday, and you guys have a lot of pieces. Obviously, you got Sutton and Connors and DeMar Taylor and Atkinson. And I keep saying, if you are out there with them, it opens up everything. Is there a part of you just you watch the team and saying, boy, if I were out there, what we could really be doing?
Oh yeah, yes. I kind of think about that a decent amount, but I can't really change anything about that now.
I don't know if you heard Mike and I earlier. We're talking about the team a little bit, and you guys have been kind of up and down a little bit with a lot of talent. I don't know if this is from a constructive criticism, but it seems the only thing that's kind of holding you back is, in my eye, is just there's kind of a little bit of chemistry missing, and maybe it's having you on the sideline. But in the games that when you guys don't play as well as you're capable of, is there anything you can pinpoint watching on the bench that maybe is holding you guys back?
I just think we turn the ball over a little bit too much to be a top team right now.
Talk a little bit, because you see him in practice, but he's raw, but Jordan Sutton, your 6'10" center, is already good. You can't wait to see what he's going to be as a senior. I don't know who's going to stop him.
Yeah, he's a great player how young he is. He's got stuff to work on, but he's going to be a very good player once he's a senior and develop more.
I didn't realize he had hurt his ankle against Staples, but one of the reasons you guys stayed in the game till the end there, Atkinson just played against New Canaan at a really high level. And when you guys go up tempo, that's where he's really dangerous. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's a really good player. He played a lot for us last year also. He just brings a quickness and a different type of movement to the game.
Kind of curious. You're getting a little bit of a different perspective there, and kind of is almost like a fan. As you look at the teams that you've played so far, who's impressed you the most?
Staples is impressive. They just have a lot of depth. Everybody can kind of score. New Canaan impressed me a lot, though. They're better than what a lot of people say they are.
I agree. I think they're underrated. Those football players were. I meant to tell Mike this. It was an inbounds play against you at the end, and Luke Robinson, the quarterback. They had Andrew Esposito going deep down court. I was saying, yeah, from a football standpoint, I wanted to see him throw the long pass to Esposito. It would have been like football season.
Yeah.
What? And you guys got the talent to do it. What do you guys need to do to have the kind of success you hope to have?
I think taking care of the ball is kind of the biggest thing. And also just being more consistent. Sometimes we're like hitting 60% from the three, and then sometimes we could just get ice cold. So just being more consistent and taking care of the ball.
Well, EJ, you're a class act. I wish I was interviewing you after games, but I wish you I hope heal quickly, and we'll see you real soon. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that was EJ Presley, and we're running late here, so that's the Rudin Report Live. Big games this week. We'll see you next week.